to the Old Time Religion Podcast, where we discuss faith, theology, and culture through a traditionalist and Anglican lens. I'm Brandon Meeks, and I want to thank you for taking the time to join me for this episode. Almost every week, I encounter some form of the following question. I've been thinking about leaving my church and becoming Anglican. What should I do? When people first started approaching me in this manner, I was quite excited. And why shouldn't I be? Surely it means that the religious tide has turned. Thirsty souls, bone dry from licking the broken systems of modern consumer Christianity, are yearning for the sweet waters from the old wells, which their fathers dug. I thought to myself, these folks are like poor Naomi, languishing in Moab. But then she heard the happy news that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Or that these Protestant prodigals, who had wasted their substance in the evangelical far country, had finally come to themselves and were making their way back home again. I took the questions as victories in themselves. Instead of directing these inquirers to the nearest Anglican parish, I should have been setting up roadblocks, because the fact of the matter is that most Christians just need to stay put. Ours is a rootless age, and in many cases this rootlessness exists not because the soil is barren, but because no one wants to do the hard work of tilling and planting and watering. Folks want to consume, but they don't want to cultivate. Among the reasons that God employs agricultural metaphors to describe the life of churches is to remind us that a fruitful harvest requires time. If one is going to reap, he has to be willing to stay in the field and hoe his own row. Then he has to hang around to weed and water it. He has to stay close enough to watch it to make sure that critters don't slip in and dig up his crop in the middle of the night. And then he has to just sit back and let the slow magic of sunshine raise the labor of his hands from the depths of the cold earth. But there is a promise attached to all that working and all that waiting. In due season, he will reap if he doesn't sell the farm. So now when someone tells me they're thinking about becoming an Anglican, I usually tell them to take a year or two and think about it. I tell them to use that time to dive deep into their own tradition and see if there is a way to bloom where they are planted, because the fact is, most never take the time to do any of that. Their gypsy blood starts boiling, their feet get itchy, and they reach for their traveling shoes and off they go. Now, if they were simply vagabonds without a home, walking the Canterbury Trail with nothing but the shirt on their backs, I would want to welcome them in without any question. We call such people true converts. But when one comes from another tradition, he isn't a vagabond, he's a hobo. And hobos usually carry at least a little bit of baggage with them. Again, this isn't necessarily a problem until the hobo starts unpacking his suitcase in the middle of morning prayer. It's when the hobo hauls out the various and sundry knickknacks that he picked up at his last ecclesial layover that makes us want to all enact our own form of vagrancy laws. When the fellow starts trying to get everyone to try on the ragtag wardrobe he accumulated along the way, folks might rightly say, "Those clothes don't fit us." And if they were such a good fit for you, why did you leave in the first place? The truth is that many who want to leave their tradition do so because they think that the grass is greener on the other side. Maybe it will allow them to level up socially, make them feel more respectable, as it were. Some think that the spiritual problems that have hounded them all of their lives won't follow them. Perhaps it's because they think that they will be moving to a corner of the kingdom that is free from fools and knaves, an ecclesiastical Camelot, where the communion table is round, and everyone gathered around it has the wisdom of Merlin and the virtue of Arthur. But this isn't faith, this is folly. The search for greener grass is always a fool's errand. And if my experience has taught me anything, the greenest grass usually grows over a sewer line. If you've been thinking about swimming the Tiber, or the Thames, or the Bosporus, then at least take time to see what kind of fish is in those rivers. You may have better fish in the pond behind your little country church. It may not be as exotic, but at least you know that you can eat it. After all, just because you can get sushi at the Flying J truck stop doesn't mean that you should. So don't become an Anglican because you think it would be fun to wear a fancy dress to church. Haberdashery is a lousy reason to flip traditions. Don't become an Anglican because you heard the word liturgy and that seems closer to the Macy's Day Parade than what they do at your church on Sundays. Liturgy isn't a beauty pageant or a piece of amateur theater. The liturgy is an order of worship, and every church has one. Don't become an Anglican because you think it means that you can believe anything and everything while being theologically accountable for nothing. If you can't sign on to the 39 Articles of Faith, then keep moving. As my grandpa used to tell visitors who stayed too late after supper, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Don't become an Anglican because your pastor preaches too long and about subjects that make you sweat. And the truth of the business is you probably ought to sweat. Don't become an Anglican because you think it places you a few notches higher on the social ladder. We're a mess over here, too. If idiots were pennies, we'd all be billionaires. Don't become an Anglican because your socio-political project failed elsewhere and you want a do-over. Don't become an Anglican if you think via media is Latin for live and let live. And finally, don't become an Anglican if you don't plan on becoming Anglican. We have beliefs and customs, and we are not in the market for new ones. In short, don't become an Anglican or anything else if you can avoid it. If your church is teaching actual heresy, then sure, you have to leave it. If the place where you're currently worshiping is an absolute spiritual mess, it's in disarray, then you might be able to leave it. But if it's just that it isn't everything that you want it to be, then you can't leave it. If you're a Baptist and you can, in good conscience, remain a Baptist and serve the Lord, then do it. The same goes for Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, and every microbrew denomination on tap. Dig into the soil of your tradition. Learn what sorts of crops have grown there. Plant roots. Dwell deep. Stay put and trust God. The Lord tells us that the kingdom of God is like a man who does what he can to put seed into the ground, and then it just goes to bed. And every day it grows a little bit more. He has no idea how it works, but it works. So he keeps going to bed and coming back to the same field every day until eventually there is a great harvest. That isn't an Anglican's field or the Presbyterian's field. It isn't the Baptist's field or the Catholic's field. It is Christ's field. And God watches over every acre of that field, sending sunshine and rain to bring forth fruit from every corner of it. So hoe your own row. Be like mighty Shammah who stayed in his pea patch. And be awful careful about quitting before the crops are laid by. For no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.